Today we're going to talk about worry. Anybody worry in this room? Anybody worried I ask you the question? Worry and frustration. Who gets frustrated? So you see, it's a big deal in the life of the church. And the interesting thing that is I'm asking Christians. Isn't that something? I'm not asking, you know, a bunch of unbelievers. I'm asking believers, right? Now let's be bold, let's be honest. I got connections. If you're lying, I'm coming sitting on your lap. How many of you worry at least once a week? Look at the hands, right? Look at the hands. This is Christians. How many of you get frustrated? How many get frustrated with another person? How many get frustrated with the person who lives in your house? No, don't. Sorry.
Shouldn't ask that question.
Lucy from the Charlie Brown offers one of her unsolicited observations in the Peanuts cartoon. Life, she says, how much did she charge for psychiatric help, by the way?
$0.05,
right? You can't get anywhere for $0.05 psychiatric care. She said that life is like a desk chair. Some place it so that they can see where they're going, and some place it so they can see where they've been, and some place it so they can see where they are in the present. Poor Charlie Brown says, I can't even get mine opened. How many of you worry about where you're going? Anybody worry about where you're going? Some. How many worry about where you've been? How many worry about the present? All right. An interesting phenomena is this. When you think about past time, how far back does the past go? Forever, right? And in your life, it goes back as many years as you've lived. So how far back does it go? Well, forever, but at least to the beginning, right? How far forward does it go? How far forward does time go? To infinity, right? It just keeps on going. Everybody got that, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. If past goes all the way back to the beginning, and the future goes all the way forward to infinity, how long is present time? You know what I just said? It's over. That's over too. That's over too. That's over too. Oh, what I just said? That's over. That's over again. That's over again. And what I just said? It's over. Where's it at? So many of us worry about the... it's over again. Right? And that's over again too. And so many of us worry about the present. And how fast is the present? It's over. How many know that the present can't hardly even be measured? It's in microseconds of nothing. What I just said, guess what? It's over. And so is that. And so is that. And so is that. And so we're either living in the past or we're looking forward. And so many of us are worried about the past, and a bunch of us are worried about the future. So how much time do we spend in worry? A lot. We spend a lot of time in worry. Anybody ever read the book, The Road Less Traveled? In the book it says this, life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, how many know life is difficult? Once we truly understand that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it has been accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. And so we're going to add to our never again list today. We're going to add to that, okay? So let's read our never again list. Never again will I confess I can't, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Never again will I confess lack, for my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Never again will I confess fear, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith. For God has given to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Never again will I confess weakness. For the Lord is the strength of my life. Psalm 27:1. And the people that know their God are strong and do great things. Daniel 11:32. Never again will I confess supremacy of Satan over my life. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Never again will I confess defeat. For God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Never again will I confess worries and frustrations. For I am casting all my cares upon him who cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7. Are you guys just reading those or do you believe those?
I believe them.
Interesting, right? So let's go again now to 1 Peter 5:7. So you read that?
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Absolutely. And so many of us have cast our cares upon the Lord, right? How many's given up things and given it to the Lord? Say, you take it, I don't want it, right? Isn't that what we say? And we kind of do it like this. Here, this is for you. You see, you give it, but your hand is still what? Attached. Oh, you say you do, but in reality, guess what? You don't. I mean, really, you say, hey, Lord, take this burden from me, right? That's what you do. You say, take this burden from me, and then you put it in your back pocket in case you need to worry about it some more. How many of you have given things to the Lord on Sunday and worried about it on Monday? Well, then guess what? You didn't give it. You didn't give it. Oh, you thought you did, but in reality, did you?
No.
No. You might have even thought you gave it to him for like 3 or 4 days. But then guess what? Comes right back. How many of you are Indian givers that way? You know you are, right? You say, here, Lord, you take this, and then you say, now, what do I need to do to help you out? There was a guy once praying to the Lord. Lord, God, I gave you all my problems. I gave you all my words. I gave you all my trouble. And you're supposed to work it out. And God said, I would if you just get out of my way. How many get in the Lord's way sometimes? How many give the Lord God directions on how it needs to be solved? Right? You know you do. You say, here's all my worries. Here's all my troubles. Here's all my frustrations. Now, God, here's how you need to work it out. Has it ever worked that way for you? Don't work that way for me. How many know the bigger you worry about your troubles, the bigger they get?
Amen.
Is that true? Can you stare troubles small?
Yeah.
Or the more you look at it, what?
The bigger it gets.
The bigger it gets. Let's go to James 1:3-4.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
When is the last time you gave God thanks for your misery? I mean, have you ever, got up in the morning and you said, I want to thank you so much for all of my trouble? Do we ever do that? No, we don't do that. What do we do normally? Can you take this away? Are you not watching me? Are you not looking at me? Are you not keeping score? I am more convinced than ever, and I told somebody this last Saturday, I said to this person, you know what? I don't need a lesson in theology. I don't need a lesson in scripture. I don't need a lesson in prayer. I mean, I would think that, the Lord knows I love him. He knows he loves me. I know that. But the trials keep coming. I have a whole church praying for me, and they cut me 4 times. I have the sons of God praying for me. I have the men's challenge praying for me. I have my church praying for me. I have UPMC praying for me, and I keep getting cut open. I'm going to tell everybody, stop praying. Pray for somebody else. Pray for Bob. Pray for Jimmy.
Oh.
And so you have to say to yourself, What is going on? And I said to somebody the other day, you know, I am more convinced than ever now that God gives the biggest battles to the strongest warriors.
Amen.
One more time. God gives the biggest battles to who? The strongest warriors. Why would he give a little battle to a mighty warrior and give a big battle to somebody who doesn't want to fight? Who gets the glory that way?
Nobody.
But if God gives the battle to the strongest warriors, and the warrior says, not by my might, but by his might, who gets the glory? God. And so when you find yourself in a big battle, I mean a big time battle, I mean a really big time battle, I told you last week, don't give up. What?
Get up.
And how are you going to do that? I mean, realistically, how are you going to do that? But look what James says. Consider it what?
Joy.
Consider it joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Really? How many find that hard to do? And the reality of it is, you know and I know that we don't have a joyful life. We have a joyful moment.
Amen.
Right? How many sent their Reader's Digest card in? Now you know you're going to win, right? Now some of you don't want to say you did, but you know you did. Does anybody want to be honest? Who? Anybody send that card in? Thank you for being honest, Butch. Jimmy, did you send it? Carol, did you send it? Anybody send it? You know you got to play to win, right? Butch, you shouldn't have sent it because I'm winning. I got a hookup. That's kind of like a man was praying to the Lord, said, Lord God, let me win the $1 million lottery, Lord. Let me win. And he went to bed last night, got up the next morning, didn't win. Lord, you must not be hearing me. I want to win the $1 million lottery. Please, Lord, you know I need it. Went to bed, got up, and guess what? Didn't win. The next day he said, okay, I know what the problem is. Lord God, if you let me win the $1 million lottery, I'll give half the money to the church. I'll buy a new floor. I'll get a new big old stove in the kitchen. And God this time said, okay, but you got to meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. You see, a lot of us in life don't want to buy the ticket. We want to win the lottery of life, but we don't want to what? Buy a ticket. And we don't want to buy a ticket because we are in our grief and we're troubles and life is horrible and all that kind of stuff. You know, trouble and difficulty come to everybody. How many of you here had trouble at least once in your life? It's everybody. And so when you're thinking it's only you, you're only thinking about who?
Yourself.
You. I'm going to tell you again. You see, when you think it's only you, you're only thinking about who?
You.
You know, it's a weird phenomenon about human beings. How many of you would rather give than receive? How many would rather give than receive? How many would rather give somebody a present than receive a present? How many, right? How many of you feel awkward when somebody gives you something at Christmas time and you have nothing to give back? How many run to your person, I got that gift card somewhere. I know I got it somewhere. Oh, I was thinking about you too. How many receive joy out of giving? All right, so check this out. If I want to give somebody something that they didn't know I was going to do and I gave it to them with no strings attached, I would have a joyful moment, would I not? And suppose I did that all day long. Would I have a joyful day? Well, of course I would. What if I did it 7 days in a row? I'd have a joyful what? Yeah, if I did that 4 weeks in a row, I'd have a what? If I did that 12 months in a row, I'd have a? And if I did it every year for the rest of my life, I'd have a what? End of service. You can go now. No, that's not mine. I would have a joyful life. If I get my mind off of my troubles, I get my mind off of my obstacles, I get my mind off of my tribulations, guess what might just happen? You might have a joyful life. But we don't. Because we think everything involves me. Well, it doesn't. Look what Scripture says. Consider it what? Pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know how many people say to me, oh, I need patience. How many need patience? And how many have prayed for patience and finally, don't do that again? Because you know what happens when you pray for patience? What teaches you patience? What teaches you patience? Trials. How many's learned some patience through your trials? How many of you, when you pray for patience, God taught it to you? How many have been taught in a hospital room? Right? And so we have to understand that we, when we think about our trouble and our problems and all that kind of stuff, and we worry about it incessantly, how many expert warriors in this room? Expert, really good warriors. Good warriors, okay, Okay, good warriors, raise your hand one more time. Awesome. How many are so good at it, you could write a book about how to worry? Who could write the second book, All the Things I've Solved by Worrying? How many could write the third book, How to Kill Yourself by Worrying? So what does worry solve? I should have put this up there. Scripture says, who by worrying can add one cubic to your span of life? Who? Can you worry yourself another day? Can you worry yourself another year? Do you realize that worry takes away days and takes away years? How many's been sick because you worried? What does that solve?
Nothing.
It solves nothing. Let's look at the next one, 2 Corinthians 4:17.
For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
Anybody blessed in this room? When you look at your blessings and your trials, which way does the scale go? If this is blessings over here, and this is trials, who has more blessings than trials? Right. But when the trials come, what do you think mostly about? You really think about your blessings, really? No, you think about your what? About your trials. You think about all the things that are wrong. You think about all the trouble you have. You think about these things. Incessantly and instinctively, you think about your problems. How many thankful to be alive?
Amen.
How many know this? How many realize who you are right now today? Today at like 11:45? Who you are today right now? Or on May the 14th is who you thought you were last night when you went to bed? One more time. You see, who you are right now is who you thought you were yesterday. And who you will become tomorrow is who you think you are what? Today. If you think you're blessed today, you ought to be blessed tomorrow, right?
Amen.
You should. And if you're blessed today, you should have thought you were blessed yesterday. Somebody once said, if you went to bed tonight and got up tomorrow morning and all you had left is what you prayed to God for thanks last night, would you be okay with that?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to say yes, I know. Everybody wants to say yes, but in reality, did you really? Would you be happy with that? I would not be happy with that. How many would not be happy with that? If you went to bed last night and all you had this morning is what you gave thanks to God for, would you be okay with that? You thank Him for everything? Thank you. I see your hand going. That's awesome. You thank God for your mommy? Awesome. How about your grandma and your pappy? How about me? Just checking. Let's go to James 1:5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
Hmm. Anybody give away so many pieces of your mind you don't have a mind left? Susan. How many's given away so many pieces? Yeah, no minds left. Just Sue. Oh, Sandy, no way. Sandy, you give away pieces of your mind? Hmm. You're the teacher of all things important. I know. And so, what we have to understand is that some of our problem is we're leaning on our understanding. We can't lean on our understanding. We have to lean on what? God's understanding. How many people have trouble in this world? Everybody. And everybody, well, you know, that shouldn't happen to good people. Are you kidding me? There are good people living in a fallen world. Isn't that true? There are really good people living in a fallen world, and there are really bad people living in the same place. We want the world to be perfect, but it's not going to be perfect. Right? We want to live in a world where kids don't get cancer. We want to live in a world where there is no hardships and no relationship problems. That's what we want to live, but we're not going to be in that place till when? We go home. It's just the way that it is. And once you can accept that, you say to yourself, you know what? What am I worrying about? How many remember the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? How many remember that song? See, I knew you would. You ever know what the words? I know you know the chorus. But don't worry, be happy. But do you know the verses? How many know the verses? Okay, what's the verses? Do you know what they are? Yes! Here are the words. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. So don't worry. In every life we have trouble. But when worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. So don't worry. What? The landlord said your rent is late. He may have to litigate. So don't worry. Are you worried today?
Nope.
We got to know. Anybody worried a little bit today? Who worried a little bit today? Anybody worried a little bit today? Okay. Okay? So you think about those things you're worried about, right? Is it robbing your life from you? Worry? Right? Let's go turn over to James 1, 6 to 8.
But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
We cannot say that God provides all of our needs and then worry about our needs. Let me run that by you again, church. You can't worry about all your needs if you believe God's going to meet all your needs. That's double-minded. That makes no sense. If you believe that we all have a day that the Lord is going to call us home, how many believe that? Right, for those who didn't raise your hand, turn and say, "He's calling you home." Right. How many know we're all in a terminal condition, right? I tell people all the time, what's the biggest cause of death? Birth. It's birth. For every person that was born, there'll be a person what? Right. You get to pick the destination, but you cannot pick the transportation, right? And so, if you say, "God, I know that you have a day in store for me." How many know you have a day in store? Can you change the day?
No.
Can you say, "Like, pretty please, God"?
No.
Pretty please?
Yep.
Sure, you're on top?
No.
You can't change the day. How many believe that that is absolutely true? How many believe in the scripture where it says all of your days have been laid out before you ever took a single breath? I know the beginning and I know the end. Anybody believe that? How many know when your day comes, God will not be late?
Amen.
Can you change it?
Nope.
So why are you worrying about it? So why do you worry about when your day is going to come when you can't change it? True? And if you worry about it, then you don't believe that somebody's in charge. You believe you're in charge. How's that working out for you?
Not good.
How many looked in the mirror today and saw your problem? I came up perception, seeing some problems, but I mean. And so by worrying, we do not change anything. And when we say that God is going to watch over me, but yet you worry about somebody watching over you, you're double-minded. When you pray for things that you're supposed to believe in God in, you're double-minded. Anybody double-minded sometimes in this room? Right? We are. We are double-minded. The story goes that there were two men. And they were ill. They'd broken their backs. Bush knows something about that. And they were confined to a bed in body casts. Confined to a bed in body casts. And they shared a room together because they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get up. They couldn't do anything at all. They were supposed to complete rest. No radio, no television, no anything. This went on for a couple months. But the guy in the bed next to the window, he was there longer, and he started to recover. And so part of his treatment was they allowed him to sit up in bed 1 hour a day. And the guy next to him, no. And they would be talking about their families and about their wives and about their jobs and all this kind of stuff. But praise the Lord, the guy by the window was recovering quicker, and he was able to sit up in bed and look out the window. And he described everything he saw for the other fella. He was saying, oh, this is awesome. There's a park right across the street, and kids are playing ball, and they're feeding the ducks, and the sky is so blue. What a wonderful, wonderful day. And he would do that every day. He'd say, oh, I see young lovers walking in the park, and I see a horse and a carriage. It's awesome. And that guy in the bed next to the door waited every day for that hour just so that he could dream what the other guy saw. Everybody get that? Well, the guy next to the bed started to become hard-hearted. Well, how come I can't be by the window? How come he's always looking outside and I'm confined to this bed? And his attitude was becoming tarnished. Started being jealous. Had a little thing going on in his heart. Well, one day the guy who was allowed to sit up started choking. Hard time breathing. And the guy by the bed watched and said nothing. Did not call for help. Did not put his buzzer on. He stood as silently as he could silently be. And the guy next to him choked to death and he died. The nurses came in, saw that he had passed away, and took him down to where they take people when they die in hospitals, down to the morgue. Well, the guy next to the door, when he thought it was long enough time to wait, he then said, hey, can you move me over to the window? They said, sure, we can move you over to the window. Awesome. And he said to himself, finally, I get a turn. And the hour came that he was allowed to sit up in bed, and they sat him up and he looked out the window at a brick wall. A brick wall. You see, you choose to see what you see, don't you? So you choose every day to look out the window of life, and you get to choose what you see. The man who was by the window first chose to see everything that he could only see where? And he blessed the person who was whining and complaining. When you get up in the middle of the night and you're worried, what do you choose to see? Do you see a brick wall? Whenever you're going through your life and you have trials and tribulations and you look out the window of your life, what do you see? Do you see another obstacle? Do you see another brick wall? Is that what you see? Is that what you see? Or do you choose to see God's blessings? Do you choose to see that when you have trials and tribulations and all those things, that God is blessing you through them? Do you choose to see that? Or are you ready to give up? I wonder how many of us today looked out the window of our lives and saw nothing but a brick wall. Another way it won't work. Another reason to be upset. Another reason to be frustrated. Another reason to be troubled. Or do you look out the window and you see God's riches, His blessings, and His mercy? What do you see? You choose it, but what do you see? Let's go to John 10:10.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Yeah. Okay. I really truly wonder how many of us in this room have an abundant life. Not abundant moments. How many have abundant moments? There's moments I have abundance. There are. But there are days that I don't. How many agree with that? And the days that I don't, it's not because God doesn't want me to have it. It's because I'm worried. I'm frustrated. How many know that's absolutely true? That's what happens to you, right? But Jesus says, I've come so that you may have life and have it how? Abundantly. And he's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about this one. Does anybody know anybody whose heart is beating and the lungs are breathing but they're dead? Does anybody know any living, breathing, dead person? I do. I mean, they look like they're living, but they have no life. Anybody know people like that? Would you like to spend like 3 hours with that person sitting on a bus ride?
Yeah.
Are you that person? Are any of you that person? But your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing, but you have no life. And if it's you, what's, you're looking out the window, and what are you seeing? Brick wall. A brick wall. It is your choice. It is your choice to decide what you want to see in life. It is your choice. Do you get up in the morning and start the worrying clock all over again? Do you get up? How many of you make lists? Anybody make lists? Cool. Anybody make a list and put all your worries on it? Okay. And so you don't want to do that, right? I challenge you to get up in the morning and list your blessings. And chances are pretty good, if you're honest with yourself, and you got up and listed all your blessings, you'd be late for work. Sissy and I, wanted to be here early today because I wanted to put that piano up for Katie. We left our house in plenty of time. It went right smack dab in the air show. Cops everywhere. Detoured us all over the place. By the time we got done detouring, I didn't know where I was. I'm serious. I did not know where I was. But it's a good thing I had a GPS in my car named Sissy. Because she said to me, turn left. And I said, no, I think I need to go right. And of course, Sissy being the loving wife, she said, okay. So I turned right. And then right. Then right. Way out of our way, right? And so we got to a police officer after I got lost. And I
got back to where we are.
Started from. So she didn't say that. So she said, oh, look, there's that police officer we passed the last time. She did say that. And so she wound the window down, and the police officer came over, and Sissy said, we're lost. She didn't say my husband. She said, we're lost. Where do you want to go to? Our church. Where's your church? Moving across. The police officer said, oh, go up the road and make a left. So she's right. She's always right. She's the queen of everything. How many are lost in life and you don't know which road to take? Right? And you're kind of wondering, what do I do? Well, you need to get a GPS. God's protection service. And you need to tell God where you want to go and follow His directions. If you follow His directions, chances are pretty good you will worry less.
Amen.
In this room today, we all said, or most of us said, I worry, I'm frustrated, and this is Christians. What do you think the rest of the world is? Shame on us. One more time. Shame on us if we worry more than unbelievers do. What does that say about us? Not much. They may not believe in God, but we don't trust God. Isn't that something? Ivy, can you come here a minute, Ivy? Ivy, can you come here a second, Ivy? Come here, Ivy, here I am. Come here. Hi, buddy. Can you sit with me? Sit with me. How are you, buddy? Okay, now, Ivy's two, right?
Three.
Three? You get to be a big girl. Whoa, this is going to stop. You're going to keep getting bigger. She's three, and I want you to answer a question for me. She's three. Do you think that she was worried about what she was going to eat today?
Nope.
You think she's worried about paying the gas bill?
Nope.
The light bill?
Nope.
You think she could get in the car and drive herself to Giant Eagle and get some food?
Nope.
Could you? You think she's worried about those things?
Nope.
She can do nothing for herself. She put her shoes on, right? No? Okay. So listen, check this out. She can do nothing for herself. She is dependent upon somebody else for what?
Everything.
You think she's worried?
No.
She can't do anything for herself, but she's not worried either. All of us who can do things for ourselves are the ones who are what?
Worried.
You find a disconnect with that? Think that through, right? My little granddaughter's not worried about anything, but she can't do anything for herself. We, on the other hand, can do everything for ourselves, and guess what? We're worried. And here's the reason why. My little granddaughter, Ivy, doesn't have to worry because she knows her parents are going to take care of her. She doesn't doubt it. She doesn't worry about it. She doesn't even think about it. She knows it. How many agree with that? The problem is we don't believe our daddy is going to do the same thing. Isn't that something? And I assure you, my daddy in heaven could do a lot more than my daddy on earth could do. How many believe that? And so when you leave this place, you think about this little three-year-old, and you think about what I just told you. She's going to have an abundant day today. You coming to my house today? Going to play outside? Going to have fun with your cousins? Think she's worried?
Nope.
You guys all go from this place and you decide, you're going to have a good day playing with your cousins too? Or you're going to go and worry? Worry is going to zap your joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we just thank you for the blessing of another day. We're not promised a Monday. We got this one. And Lord God, your gift to us was this day. But how we choose to live it is our gift back to you. Lord God, thank you for the blessing of this day. Thank you, Lord, for all the mothers present here and all the moms of most of us in this room or some of us in this room that live in heaven. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Because any time a child was brought into this world for the very first time, there was a birth of a child and the birth of a mother. Lord, thank you for the birth of mothers. Thank you, Lord, for the way that they've sacrificed for us and continue to do so. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to have that kind of faith in you that would help us to worry less. And all of God's people said,